All right, book club, day 25, chapter 25. An interesting chapter, I think a really good chapter here, where he specifies that we want Christians with a difference. So kind of this unique flavor of Christianity, right? Which I think is, again, something that is very inherently anti-Catholic, right? When you're talking about trying to create these Christians that have their own kind of unique flavor, this Christianity that's going to have its own kind of specifications. And he talks about this horror of the same old thing. So we're going to talk about that extensively today. What does this mean, talking about the same old thing? He says that it has led to endless source of heresies in religion, folly in counsel, infidelity in marriage, and inconstancy in friendship. And so this kind of like desire that we have as humans, he talks about how it's very natural. It's very common amongst different people that we have this desire for change, this desire to kind of keep things new and fresh and exciting and have different things. And I think this is something we can all relate to, right? I know for me personally, I definitely can. I think I'm somebody, and I think millennials are specifically known at least to be prone to falling into this where, you know, we're not known for keeping jobs for very long periods of time. And not that we get fired, but wanting to switch up careers, always wanting to change and pursue something new. I think this kind of mindset really has crept in. It was really popular, I think, in our parents' generation, and then has also really taken root in the millennial generation. And you see here, it becomes, why do we get these heresies? Why? Because the Bible is outdated. It doesn't make as much sense anymore, right? It's antiquated. It doesn't apply to these modern inventions in this progressive society that we have now set up. And so it must be done away with, right? It's not as useful as it once was. So you don't want that old thing, the same old religion, blah, blah, blah. It's so boring, right? Because it's so old and traditional and all of that. It's ironic and interesting that now in Gen Z, you're seeing that many kids are, I think because we've had several generations like this, buying into this folly of the same old thing, that now you're seeing that the rebellious thing is to be traditional. It is to be conservative. It is to be Christian, to be Catholic. Has now become kind of the rebellious thing for a lot of teenagers in today's world, which is really interesting. But I want to hone in on that one part there where it says infidelity in marriage. I think this is something that a lot of men especially get caught up with. I remember hearing this from people throughout my life in different times of, you're really going to have sex with the same person forever, the same person, the same old thing. It gets so boring and so dull and whatever. And it's interesting that I think when it comes to sex within marriage or it comes to spiritual life and any of these truths, right? It really just requires a proper understanding of it. Because when you have the beauty of marriage and you understand the beauty in the totality of what the sacrament of marriage is, then it becomes exciting. It becomes an adventure, this opportunity to build a life with someone, to constantly be exploring, getting to know them more, and how that changes over the years and evolves. When you have good Catholic couples who have been married for a long time, they talk about this and they talk about how even secular statistics have shown that the sex lives of those who are married is better than single people, even though we think it, obviously, we just assume it's the opposite. It's really interesting. And that kind of shows you, I think, how the devil uses this mindset of the same old thing. Oh, it's so boring, right? This concept of boredom and that doing the same things over and over again is boring. It's kind of the tedious life, right, that God really calls us to for most of us, for priests. Saying the mass over and over again and saying, you know, the same prayers on repeat throughout the years over their lives, for parents, for married people, right? Doing the dishes, having conversations about how your day was. It's these kind of tedious daily things that can, with love, be incredible and amazing. And without love, with a hard heart, are miserable and terrible. And that's the difference maker, right? That's the thing that I think we often forget about and miss, and that the world doesn't tell you, the devil doesn't want you to know, is that love makes all the difference. Your disposition, your outlook on these things makes all the difference. Another thing I think is really interesting here is he talks about the seasons. I think the seasons is a great example and a beautiful analogy for us in that he says that he gives them the seasons, each season different, yet every year the same. So that spring is always felt as a novelty, yet always as the recurrence of an immemorial theme. And so I think this is a good example for us because of the fact that we have in this example that God gives us with the seasons, some constancy, but a little bit of change. And that's how I kind of like to approach my spiritual life. And I think the same thing goes for fitness, right? I have periods of time where I really want to play basketball. And so I play basketball. And then if I get kind of bored with that, then maybe I go on a weightlifting binge. And if I get bored with that, maybe I go on a running kick. right? But the idea is to always be moving forward. The same thing goes with your spiritual life, right? Maybe sometimes I'm really into studying scripture. Then I'm like, you know what? I kind of want to take a break from that. So I'll read something like the Screwtape Letters or some other type of spiritual reading, or I'll pray the rosary, or I'll just sit in adoration and just converse with God. You know, this morning, just kind of planned my day in the chapel during my prayer time. I read a chapter of this, planned my day a little bit, and listened to a session on Hallow from the Advent Challenge. And so beautiful things like that. You can kind of mix it up. I'm somebody that's like that. Consistency, doing the same thing over and over again, not my strength, but I like to mix it up. I love to read, and I try to create a daily habit of reading, but I'm usually reading like 3 books at a time. Why? Because I just get kind of bored with one of them, and I'm not done with it. I don't want to be done with it totally, but I want to mix it up. And I think that's totally fine. And we have to find our ways that we can do that in our own lives and what that looks like for us. The last point I want to make in this chapter that I thought was really good was he talks about how he says the enemy loves platitudes. This is on the second to last page on 138. Of a proposed course of action, he wants men, so far as I can see, to ask very simple questions. He says, is it righteous? Is it prudent? Is it possible? He's like, now we want men asking different types of questions, such as, is it in accordance with the general movement of our time? Is it progressive or reactionary? Is this the way that history is going? Then they will neglect the relevant questions. And the questions they do ask, of course, are unanswerable. For they do not know the future, and what the future will be depends very largely on just those choices, which they now invoke the future to help them to make. So really interesting there. I think that's obviously super, super prime and fitting for our time, where you have people who are just constantly trying to think. One, people are just worried about getting canceled. But on top of the fear of getting canceled, you have this consideration of, is this just the way things are going? Like, things are so rapidly changing, right? Nobody can predict and know what is going to be the next thing. You know, like, what's the next hashtag you're supposed to put in your bio? What's the next symbol we're supposed to buy into? What's the next cause we're supposed to be fighting for and up in arms about? And when you don't know that, it's hard to anticipate. And you don't want to be one of these people that has fallen out of the good graces, right? That missed the moment, that missed this time where we were supposed to be advocating for this. And it would make sense because we advocated for this, that we advocate for that. But for some reason, there's a disconnect there and we don't advocate for that. And now I've missed the moment and I've read the situation wrong, right? There's lots of funny social media posts and videos kind of reenacting or acting out people kind of going through this debate whenever there's the next big thing. I think the Israel-Hamas war was a good example of that, where a lot of woke people were like, which side am I supposed to be on again? Because I'm supposed to be against anti-Semitism, but Jews in this situation are said to be the oppressors. So which is worse? Is this kind of this weird situation? But I think we have that in our own time, right? I felt this way kind of even when we were talking about when I did my episode on the nonprofits and self-fundraising and things like that, where it was kind of just like this assumption that, well, this is the way the church is going. This is where we're moving. This is like what we've deemed acceptable. And so to question that, the angry response that I got in response to that was really interesting to me. I think very telling of the fact that you have questions like this when you start to ask, is it prudent? Is it righteous? About questions that people have only asked, well, is this what's common? Is it what's popular? People get pretty pissed off. That's the moral of the story. People get pretty upset with that. And you're going to have that because people, a lot of times, have not thought out their position on things. They haven't really stopped to think, oh, wait, I gave my entire life to this. Am I doing the right thing? Is this prudent? Is this righteous for me to be, you know, living in a $1 million home, sending my 6 kids to private school and asking people for money if I want to raise? Asking my donors to increase their giving if I want to raise my family members and friends. People don't stop to ask, is that prudent or righteous? Because their leaders have told them that it is. So they don't want to think about that. And when you don't want to think about it, then a lot of times you have these issues. When people finally question and say, when people come in and finally ask those questions, then you're going to be upset about it. And so it's an interesting thing. Life's funny like that. But hey, this has been great. Nice seeing you today. Thanks for your time. Please, I appreciate you keeping up with your reading. Even if you're late on this, this is still great. These videos are going to be here forever. So take your time getting through it. Continue to pray through this. Reflect on this. C.S. Lewis is great. I hope you've joined the Hallow Advent Challenge. If you haven't yet, please let me know if you need like a 30-day free trial or something like that. Don't super advertise that, but I'd be happy to hook somebody up. I do have a Seeking Excellence code that I can send and set you up with that. And so, yeah, let me know. I hope it's been a blessing for you. I know I really enjoyed it so far. And that's part of why I picked C.S. Lewis for our book study this month, or this time around, because I knew that that was coming up, and I thought it was just kind of a good season to dive deeper into some C.S. Lewis writings. All right. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. God bless you.